Good crowd today. Thanks for coming out. I appreciate it. I noticed that when I kept talking to people, like, oh, we're out of town, we're out of town, we're out of town. So, but before we do anything else, we got to pray a blessing over your tithe. But anybody here for the first time? I know these lights are bright. Anybody for the first time? No, there. I thought I saw someone over there. Anybody else? Okay, good. Well, we want to welcome you. Thanks for coming out this morning. I appreciate it. We hope you've enjoyed the worship, and hopefully we're going to get in the Word. But Matthew 24, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your Word. I ask that you would begin to stir our hearts with the words. But I also am so grateful for the faith that people have to continue to tithe and give their offerings in the season we're in, that we continue to stay true to your Word, trusting that your kingdom principles were greater than anything that we could imagine. That as we give, it will be given back unto us. So I thank you for the obedience and the faithfulness of your people in blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple weeks ago, I jumped on Matthew 24. I told you we have to understand what we're living in this world. We've never seen anything like this. I promise you, my last 3 weeks that I did a little bit of more of a political and frustrating rant is over. I prayed about it. I don't feel bad about it at all. I know that we need to get our heads out of the sand and realize we're living in a culture that's very divisive, very divisive. We have a situation this week where our president was not invited to go to one place, but the candidate for the other side is. If that's not discrimination, it is. So whatever side you line up on, you begin to side with them only, and then the other side's bad. We are living in a world where we're polarizing you based on beliefs that you have. Now, I believe we need to be careful as Christians. If you don't like this person or like this, I mean, we have one of our elected officials go and break every rule in California to go get their hair done, right? And just want to leave nameless here. And then gets up 3 hours later and bashes everyone who just did what she did. Yet, you know what? Some people are defending her 100%, and over here are villainizing her. Whatever side you're on, you're bad or good. True? Oh, you're just being mean. You know, you don't know all the facts between that. No, but I saw the video. Does that mean? But what we do is we try to pin ourselves and divide as a nation. And I just don't, my heart is going out right now that I don't want to hate you or because of the color of your skin, because of the politician you're going to vote for. But we also need to wake up and realize that we have an agenda that's coming against the church. It's pretty bad. John MacArthur, someone who I disagree with theologically in many realms, as far as biblically, but had the utmost respect for him as a man of God who's proven his worth over decades of ministry, decided to open up his church because the Lord mandated him that he will gather together and honor the word of God in California. You know what they did? The lot they had agreement with for 40-something years, I think, or 30-something years, their parking lot, the city came in and told them that they're being evicted. They can't park there anymore because they chose to open their church. We've had churches in California have their electricity turned off. People meeting in different areas, they're having now meet in public areas because they can't have water in certain buildings because of it. If this is not persecution, wake up. Wake up. They're not doing this to everybody else. They're doing this to and then we can have a political rally over here with this many people. And then we have another one who gives another political rally over here, but this one spread COVID and that one didn't. And this is the smartest disease I've ever seen. It only affects certain groups of people, depending on what side you're on. I mean, we have to wake up and realize something doesn't pass the smell test here. It doesn't smell real. Now, does it mean there's not a real disease? I didn't say that. I have firsthand experience now with somebody I know that I have great trust in, a man of faith that had battled this and to the point where they were concerned over it, but he stood in faith. And within a 24-hour period, we saw this man go from what they were concerned about battling for his life to completely 100% being healed and whole and being released from the hospital. That's because this is a person who chose to not let a disease, whether I told you a couple of weeks, whether it's cancer, whether it's COVID, well, I don't care what it is. We have a God that's bigger than this. And I'm not denying the power or the power of what this disease can do. I'm arguing you that it doesn't have the right to affect you. Just like cancer, just like any diabetes, like any other disease there is, we have the word of God on our side. And we have to battle this thing with the word. And that's what we've got to get our focus back to. But we're living in times right now where the division is great, but what this all is doing is confirming God's word. There is going to be nations rising into nations. And I believe there is going to be politics against politics. The whole point, and I love this. This is a word that I've shared for years. The word devil, literally in the Greek, if you take it down, is the Greek word diabolos. And it means to cut through or divide. The very nature of the devil is to divide people. So my challenge for you in this room is don't be divided. Don't let yourself be. If you disagree with a brother or sister, not even on a political realm, don't talk about them. Don't gossip about them. Pray for them. Maybe call and encourage them if you can. But let's not let the enemy, because I believe the message this morning is about coming together and seeing one focus. There is a king that's coming back for us. The bride and the bridegroom are going to be reunited sooner than you've ever imagined. And we need to be ready. So a couple weeks ago, I mentioned to you Matthew 24. Let me give you a summary of the first 27 verses. Ready? There's signs of time. There's earthquakes, hurricanes, famines. You see, we might not be, oh, we have food here. Did you guys try to buy toilet paper a couple months ago? I mean, wasn't very easy. How about bread on the shelf? Couldn't get that milk? I mean, this was just in our area, and we're in a very protected zone. There were some places that were weeks out of, and people were panicking, and remember, the food shortage was going to have no food, no beef, and no this. There's rumors of famine here, but there's real famine going on in other places in the world today. It's happening. We just don't see it as much because of where we live. Pestilence. This word actually is exactly what we're dealing with. Disease and plagues. Never heard. Can you believe 2020 is the first time since the bubonic plague, right, in the early 1900s, that we had a disease that has captured the minds of every single person across the world. Up until my lifetime, and guess what? Not one of you qualify for that, so I won't try to make any old jokes for anybody here that don't you remember the bubonic plague back there, because if you did, then we have real problems because you'd be really old right now. But, you know, there are a few people alive, though, right? They would be, actually. It wasn't. But either way, we're seeing something in our generation we've never seen before, and that is that a disease could capture everyone's attention at this level. But now we're seeing it right here. The biblical perspective says we're going to see these things come up, and we are now. And we also are going to see false Christs rise, and even the elect can be deceived. What we're seeing is we have to be careful that as we see the signs that are coming around and all these birth pangs, as another scripture says, we're seeing these things as an indicator of what is to come. It says all these things you'll see to get your attention that there is someone coming back sooner than you think. And then we talk about that in verses 29 through 31 about the coming of Christ. He's coming back for us. Let's start in verse 32, which is where we're going to start today, and go from there. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When its branches is yet tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So likewise, when you shall see all these things that we just mentioned and talked about, that is near even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things are fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass from you. We are living in a time right now that we are, this generation is probably, I believe there is a generation seated in this room today that will see the return of Christ. He's coming back sooner than we think. The end times is a term that we use all the time, but you know what? We are living in the last days, and that is biblical. And the last day started a long time ago, but we're living in the last of the last days, and we need to see what's coming ahead of us. Verse 36, but of that day and hour, no man, no, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only knows. But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For I want you to listen to this, if you would. I'm going to read it, and I don't even have to preach it. It's such a good writing here. If we're not living in this time right now, you really need to open up your eyes and see what's going on. For as in the days of Noah before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving into marriage, and until the day of that Noah entered the ark. And they knew not the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Are we not living in a time right now where people are living, eating, drinking, partying, marrying, all their living their certain ways of lifestyles and don't even understand anything about the kingdom of God? That's why Robbie Dawkins is coming in a couple weeks. I want this church, we want this church, to get a focus of the people that are going to be lost in the next flood. Maybe it won't be a physical flood. But there's a coming when Christ comes back. There's many people that are not going to know Jesus. And we as a church need to do a better job getting our focus and attention, not just on us getting into the rapture or us being raised up with him, but instead, how can we bring others with us? How can we reach people who don't know Jesus? Because we have a message of love and hope, forgiveness and grace and mercy and repentance that they need to hear. And there's ways to do that, and there's ways to encourage us in that. And I just want to give you also one strong warning, too, about that weekend. This is being announced. And those that don't know, Robbie Dawkins and Mari Murillo have teamed up every week to do broadcasts together. And their national radio or TV, whatever, YouTube, whatever, one of those things online. Every week they do this, and they're promoting it. Not this meeting, but they're promoting what they're doing. And yet on Robbie Dawkins' website and everywhere else and Facebook and everything is being promoted that he's coming to Martinsville, Indiana. There are thousands of people that are hearing about this and phone calls and webs. People are calling their ministry and asking. And we do say on our advertisement, seating is limited. I'm not here to warn. The warning is get here when you get here early. Because when this sanctuary fills up and we can fill up the back room, there is no more seats available. And I do know there will be some disappointed people coming and driving in. And we've got to be very careful. And our ushers are going to be really ready to do crowd control. I don't know if we try to put a speaker out in the parking. I don't know what we're going to do because we want to try to solve the problem. But that will be about 300 people we'll be able to sit in here. Anything above that is going to be tough. So we are going to open up. And Kenny and I are going to talk to you next week about how we're going to open up the church for you guys that want to come. If you come early and want to pray and be a part of the ministry with, as Diane and is leading a team of people to pray beforehand, you can come in, and that's how you can save your seat, because you'll be here. But once the door is closed for prayer, you'll have to sit in line just like everybody else, because we cannot obviously have a side door for our members to walk in, even though we'd like to. So please, just be heads up on this. It's going to be bigger than what we thought at first, because the more we hear about it, the more phone calls we're getting, there is people calling from hours away. And we're warning them that it's first come, first serve seating. And so there's going to be people probably here at 3, 4 o'clock in the afternoon making sure they got seats. So heads up on that, not to over-promote something, but just to make sure our church is able to be here, because I'm excited about the meetings coming up. And so, but anyways, that was all back in, that was nowhere in Scripture, by the way, just on a side note. So let's jump to the next part. They didn't know the flood is coming. They weren't ready. They weren't seeing it. Now check this out. Verse 40. Then the two shall be in the field. One shall be taken and the other's left. Two women be grinding at the mill. One taken, the other left. Watch therefore that you know not what hour the Lord comes. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would have not suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore you also be ready for such an hour as you think the Son of Man comes. This morning, as I get to this next part of the message, my heart and my prayer is that that verse, those last verses apply to every one of us today. There is a thief that's continually trying to rob and steal from you. And are you constantly watching and waiting and pressing on the things of the Lord? He's coming back. Are we ready for that? Or is he going to, or is this going to come, take us by surprise, and we're going to be broken into and lose out on the great blessings of this? And there's three stories that we're going to get to in chapter 25 that I'm just going to tell them to you for the sake of time and for the sake of this. But we are to be watchful, alert, ready. I just told you a couple weeks ago, I preached the same message. Watchful, alert, sober. We have to get our minds ready for Christ and what's around us. If we're not being alert, and we're not seeing what's really going on, we're going to live life, go to work, go to church, do this, and we're going to live our life. And next thing you know, we're going to be greatly surprised at the things to come. I don't want anyone in this room to be surprised. I want us to be ready. I want us to be so ready that when the warfare does come and when tribulation does come in this world, John 16:33, you will have tribulation. I preached this a couple weeks ago. You will. But in me, you have peace. Same verse. Be of good cheer. I overcame the world. How do you stay ready for tribulation? You get in him to have peace in it. There's tribulation. There's wars going on. I got peace, though. Why? Because I'm in him. There's famine going on. I've got peace. I'm in him. And I can be of good cheer. I can help others who are living in this world of tribulation. There will be time. Then we have the tribulation. That's another point of time to come to. We have a lot of things to come. But we, as Christians, are ready. We're alert. And when tribulation does come, we're not taking back. We're not getting freaked out. We're not living in fear and worry. And when another pandemic or whatever else wants to rise and come our way, we're ready and we're embracing the fact that God is going to stay true to his word. And we're not going to let anything take us off course. Amen? All right, let's jump to verse 45 then. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom the Lord has made ruler over his household to give them the meat due season? Blessed is the servant whom the Lord, when he comes, shall find him so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all the goods. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come on that day and look not for him for an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him the portion with the hypocrites, and shall be with weeping and gnashing of teeth. There's a day coming. Who is this wise person? It's a wise person who knows the times, but it's the wise person doing the will of God. Last week, Pastor Kenny mentioned about being intimate with God. One of the first points he made was, depart from me, you wicked, for you are not doing the will of God. One of them is that we have to know, as Christians, we don't have to, works don't get you saved, right? It's mercy and grace. It's his mercy that saves us. You can't do anything to get saved. All you do is acknowledge what he did for you, accept it, receive it by faith, speak it, and declare it, and by faith, through grace, you're saved, period. Don't add works to the gospel. However, in that same chapter, that's verses 6 and 7 of Ephesians 2, verse 10 says that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Did you know that? They'll put that verse on. Could you put up Ephesians 2:10, please? Thank you. I was not in my notes. Oh, I'm going to give you my notes at all. So he's like, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ, to do good works, which was prepared for us beforehand by God. So when we understand that as Christians, it is our ability to do good works. That's what he's looking for. That's what he just said right here. I'm looking for the ones that are doing the will of the Father. That creates an intimacy with God, and it creates an honor to God that we're doing his will on this earth right now. Three stories, the 10 virgins. I'm just going to give it to you right here. Ready? There were 10 virgins. They all were waiting for the gates to open. And they waited and they waited. They had lamp in their lampstands. So they were waiting, waiting and waiting. Five of them were, they called, wise. And they filled up that lamp, and they had so much oil that even though it was cumbersome to bring all the stuff there, they were there and they were ready. They were alert. They were, no matter how long it took, they were going to have enough oil, enough supplies to be there when the gates opened. The other ones were the Bible calls foolish. They didn't come with enough oil or supplies. They got there quickly. They didn't have to worry about carrying a backpack, and they didn't have to get there. There's no forethought. They just go, hey, you know what? Hey, he's coming back. Let's jump on the, we're going to be on the last ship. Let's hurry up and get on there. And they get there, and all of a sudden they wait, and they wait, and they wait, and they start seeing their lamps dimming a little bit. Hey, you know what? We'll be right back. We've got to go get some more oil. We didn't come prepared. And then it says in verse 11, if you would, chapter 25 now, afterward came the other virgin saying, Lord, open the gate to us. We missed it. He said to them, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know not neither the day or the hour when the Son of Man is coming. Hey, I'll repent when it's time. Before I die, I'll get right with God. You don't know that. I want to just give a warning to everyone who thinks that we can live our lives the way we want to. We don't have that luxury today. Not because we should be living in fear that he's coming back. We should want to live a life that honors him. But let's not be foolish. Your neighbors, your friends, your coworkers could be one of these people right here. Just let that sink in. They could miss the mark. Christ comes back, and they live in destruction. What are we doing to stop this? What are we doing as a church to further the kingdom of God so those people don't have to experience that type? The next story tells the parable of talents. He gave three people talents. One he gave five to, one he gave two, one he gave one to. The one of five was a wise business person. Went out and invested it. Doubled his money. Good investment. Like, number two went out, doubled his money. Number three went out and had one talent and said, you know, Lord, I knew who you were, and I was scared that if I lost it, what would happen? So in fear, I chose not to do anything, but I buried it. So, hey, guess what? You got exactly what you gave me. Look what he says in verse 21, it looks like. Oh, no, that's here. Oh, I got to get I'm sorry. Let me get the blessing part. I wrote this down here, the blessing part first. Let's read verse 21 first. And the Lord said to the one with five that doubled it, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Thou enter the joy of the Lord. The second one came back and said, I doubled my money. And verse 23 said, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make you a ruler over many things. Enter the joy of the Lord. This is the joy. Before I get to the bad stuff, let's get back to the good. God has given you a life of blessing. You, every one of you, have been given talent in your life. Every one of you. And I'm not talking about whether you can work with your hands or whether you do good drywall work or you're a good electrician or you're good working on cars and whatever else jobs you do, engineers and everyone else, the smart people that do all that kind of stuff too. You know, I'm not saying that. Every one of you have been given a gift of God too. Everyone, you know, I love, those that don't know, I like to work. I have a small part-time job that tends not to be so small sometimes. But as I get the privilege to go around different jobs, I get, like Friday night, we were on our way home and I told Justin, we're going to crash. I'm going to go by the fire and sit out there for a little bit before I go to bed. And I met an individual out there. And after about 3 or 4 hours of hearing all about their life, I realized it was a God-appointed time to minister this person who needed exactly what I had. It doesn't matter where we are. I was on a job, a work job. This is construction side of me. And yet God put someone in my life that, and I told him, I said, you go back to Texas where you're from, and there's a ministry that we work with out of there, Vision Life Ministries, and everything I had to share with you about walking in freedom. Matter of fact, this person went up to the room, they came back down, and they brought me a book, and said, I don't know why, I was walking in a bookstore, and I saw this book, and I thought, what do you think of this? And it ended up being a book I used to teach 20 years ago by Neil Anderson. I said, oh my goodness, read that book. It's everything I'm sharing with you. God prepared you for this exact me. I mean, they didn't even know what the book was about. They just bought it from the store. It was so cool. I left there very tired, by the way, and then I had to get up because we had to drive home the next morning. I got like 2-3 hours of sleep. But you know what? If you are open and available, that had nothing to do with what job I was. That wasn't me as a pastor, and that wasn't me as a construction worker. That was me as a man who just wanted to sit down and actually relax. But God opened a door for me to minister to somebody who needed some hope, some freedom. We all have that gift inside of us. Just because I'm standing at a pulpit doesn't mean mine is a different gift. But every one of you have been given talents by God. What are you doing to further the kingdom with those things? What are you doing to advance God's kingdom with what he's given you? Because that's what we're going to be looking at. He's looking for what he's given you. And one of the things I encourage you is this. You want to be equipped well? These connect groups coming up are phenomenal. If you want to learn about the end times, and Brian even said he hates that term, so here, I'm going to try to get rid of that term, Brian, I promise. But if you want to learn about the book of Revelation and the signs and the things, there are all these things, the uncovering of the future and the apocalypse of all the things that are happening. Or if you want to learn Mario Murillo's book, that's a great book. It's going to prepare you for the end times. If you want to go through the young adults, I encourage you, go to these things. Get involved. If you have a heart to even to pray a little bit, come out on Tuesday nights. It's what, an hour and a half or so? And if you want to just get some time in the presence of God during the day on Tuesdays, come on. This is equipping you and feeding you And it, so you can go forth and do and be used by the kingdom of God in these last days. I just think it's imperative we do this. So the last one, unfortunately, is not so hot. Verse 25, I was afraid, and I went and I hid thy talent in the earth. And there it is. And the Lord answered and said, you wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sowed not, and I gather where I have not sowed. You ought, therefore, to have put that money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received them by my own usury. Take, therefore, this talent from him, and give it to them which have 10 talents. For every one that has shall be given, and have the abundance, but him that hath not shall be taken away, which what he has. And he cast the unprofitable servant to the outer darkness, was weeping and gnashing of teeth. Same thing that they talked about in the parable of the talents. And they're going to do the same thing in just a second again. When we're not walking in the things of God, we are not fulfilling the potential that God's given us in this last hour we're living in. We've got to prepare ourselves for ministry and not just ministering, going to church, waking up and doing it again. I believe we're living in a day that the seasons are getting shorter. There's things happening. I want the church to be ready and alert. Last one, this is one of my favorites. Starting in verse 31, it talks about the parable of the sheep and the goats. And it says there's going to be one on one side sheep, one side of the goats. And they tell this thing, this is when we know, this is the sheep of the ones who, when I was naked, you clothed me, when I was hungry, you fed me, when I was in prison, you visited me, when I was sick, you came here, when everything I needed, you did. And they said, and yet he tells the goats, you guys are the ones that didn't do it. And they get there and they go, wait a minute, what do you mean we didn't do it? He goes, Jesus, you were, this is his disciples, going, wait a minute, you were never sick, which we know that to be truthful. You weren't hungry. When were you hungry and we didn't feed you? When were you naked and we didn't clothe you? Jesus, I don't understand this. In verse 39, let's just go here. Let's just start verse 38. There we go. Or when you were sick, when you were a stranger, we took you in, you're naked, we clothed you. Or when you were sick in prison, we came to you. And the king shall answer and say to them, verily I say unto you, and as much as you've done to the least of these my brethren, you've also done it unto me. One of my favorite lines of this thing, of this verse, is Keith Green. Anybody remember Keith Green? Keith Green is one of my favorites. I mean, he did a song called The Sheep and the Goats. If you want, go home and Google it. He literally sings this whole thing, okay? And he gets on that piano of his, which he was phenomenal. And he got that thing just cranking as much as you've done it. And he gets in this passion. And you listen to it, you're like, and when I hear that verse, Jesus crying out, as much as you've done to your neighbor, to your acquaintances, to your fellow church friends, to your fellow whatever here, as much as you've done it to them, it's what you do to me. The way we treat others is the way that Jesus looks the way we treat him. The way that we clothe and feed and visit and become a help in the time of need of all those around us is as if we're ministering to Jesus himself. So when you get this mindset that we leave with today in just a few minutes, the mindset isn't just you being ready for you to go and it's us four and no more and jump on the ship and go to heaven. Woo, we're here. That's great when the Lord comes. But what about us four and there's plenty more to come too? What about the fact that you can minister to those around you and get your mindset not just on yourself? Yes, part one of this message is getting you ready, you alert. But for what? So you can go to heaven? No, because I think all of you right now know Jesus. You're going to heaven. It's not getting you alert so you can alert others. And you bring them into the fold. And you let them know there is a day coming where he is coming back for us, or you're eventually going to go to, you're going to die, and there's a king that you're going to When you meet that king, are you ready? Do you understand what I'm saying today? I am asking you, are we ready to know the times are getting shorter and shorter? We're not guaranteed tomorrow. And neither is your friends, your family members, and those around you. There ought to be an alert going off inside of us that we've got to do a better job winning souls for Christ. Verse 41. Then shall they say unto them, on the left, depart from me, you cursed and the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. By the way, if anyone ever says to you that, how can a loving God send people to hell? He He didn't. Hell was created for those that right there, Satan and his angels. That was it. Now it's for those who want to walk in disobedience. That's not God who chooses. God doesn't send people to hell. They go there because of their choices. And there are people out there that have heard the gospel in different ways. And I had a really good conversation with a minister just recently that was telling me that he's been to other countries. And they just the way they define the gospel is so different. But they know that Jesus is the Son of God. And the way that God is going to get his word out one way or the other. There are people hearing the gospel. And you know what? That ought to be the second message we give ourselves, is that if this around you isn't working, why don't you go find a place that needs the gospel and you go there? Why don't we go and bring the love of God to those people? Because we don't want anyone to miss this. This is eternity. Depart from me. This is verse 42. Jesus says this, "For I was hungry and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink." And he went through them all then. And verse 45, "Then shall he answer them and say, Verily I say to you, as much as you've done to least of these brethren, you did it to me. And these things shall go in everlasting punishment, but the righteous shall live eternally and have the life eternal." We have promised eternal life. And we have promised the fact that we are going to, if you want, open up your Bibles to Ephesians 5. And that's where I'm going to close today. Matthew 24 is a chapter that I really had in my heart a couple weeks ago, and I didn't finish it. And that's why, as I was preparing this week, I want to go back. Worship team, if you want to come on up, you're welcome to. Matthew 24, I'm going to give you a conclusion. I normally don't do this. I'm going to break it down. The first part is warning you about the things to come, the things that are happening around us. The second part is letting you know that you need to be aware of these things that are going on. Just as that fig tree is about to get in season, we are aware of the season we're in. Are you aware that we're living in a day where Jesus is coming back sooner than you think? Are we living in a day the gospel needs to be preached greater than it was 2,000 years ago? We're living in a day now where there's more people that's ever existed on this planet, and we have to take a responsibility as Christians to win these people over for Christ. But we got to be ready ourselves. We got to be ready. And that's where I want to kind of go back and close with today. Ephesians 5, it's talking about husbands and wives, but it's comparing it to the way that Christ relates to the church. You know this. And so I won't, verse 24. Yes, husbands, wives, submit, love each other. It's not a marriage text. It's a marriage text, but just love each other. Do your job there. We'll get to it in a minute. I'll talk marriage later, okay? Verse 24. "Therefore, as a church is subject to Christ, let the wives be subject to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church." So there you go. The metaphor here is just as we love Jesus is the way that we ought to love our husbands and wives in the way we honor each other. See, it's back and forth. But he's still talking about the church and Jesus. Verse 26, "that he, the husband, might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing and the water of the word." That's how he cleanses his marriage. That's how we cleanse ourselves as Christians, right? The water of the word. And verse 27 is my conclusion for you this morning. "That he might," now he's talking about Jesus, the head of the church, "might present to him a glorious church, not without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but should be holy and without blemish. So ought men ought to love their wives, not their own, but he that loves his wife loves himself." When we learn to love ourselves in a way that we're loving Christ, we will be this spotless, without wrinkle, without blemish, waiting for our groom. When the bridesmen come, when the bride comes, are we ready? Are we ready? Are we living a life where we, as we were doing just during communion earlier, does it represent Christ in everything we do and say? You know, this last week, we were up out of town, so we had to every night go back to a hotel, and believe it or not, I was in bed pretty early for my normal. But as the week got on, unfolding, you start trying to hurry and try to get everything done. You start getting frustrated, and you start seeing, and actually two of the guys are here, so I got to be careful. And there was one example where we were all just get irritated. We all kind of left. We all, the the three of us talked individually later. Everything's fine. There's nothing. No, we weren't yelling or screaming, and oh, maybe a little bit of intensity. But you know what's funny? I went back to my room that night, and I was praying. I said, Lord, I don't want to be agitated so easily. I don't want to be the person who's not, and I'm normally not that way for the most part. But I see myself as when you get under pressure, when we get under pressure, what comes out of us? There's pressure coming. I'm not here to put fear. No. There's pressure coming. There is tribulation of sort coming. There's persecution coming. What are we going to do? How are we going to respond? Are we going to respond in faith, in patience, in peace, with joy, in love? Or are we going to be reactive? And we're going to try to fight, and the stuff that squeezes out of us, we're not so proud of. I don't want it to be too late for some of us, maybe not in this room, and maybe in this room. I don't want it to be too late for us. That when pressure squeezes that stuff out of us, we find out what we're really made of. What is really in us? How deep is the love of Christ in you? How deep is his revelation of who he is in your life? I want this to not just be, I want to get to heaven so I can get, or I want to get saved so I can get to heaven. I want to get saved so I can know Jesus. I want to get saved so I know him, and I know him so well that there's an intimacy on this earth that when he comes back, it's like I miss nothing. But you know what? Though I see you face to face, I feel like I already know you. I don't want to have the bride come down and the bridegroom sitting there waiting, and they go, oh, that's what you look like. Wow, it's been a long time. I haven't seen you for a while. You look pretty good for this wedding day. That's not the way I want it to be. I want it to be where as soon as the doors open and I see the bride, I go, that's it. That's the beautiful bride that I've been looking at and praying and talking and relating to every day. That's the bride that I've been longing to see walk down this aisle and say, come, come, I'm ready to take you home with me. That's what the church is ready for. A bride and a bridegroom uniting, and they know each other. They're intimate, and they're wanting everyone to come to this feast together, so we all come together and we eventually enjoy eternity in the greatest, greatest life ever to live. Why are we taking so many chances and stupid decisions in this short glimpse of life we live on this earth when all eternity is at stake? Follow me, please. This is what my heart is for this whole morning. I'm building up to this right here. John Bevere wrote a book that we did for Men's Group, Driven by Eternity. Why is it that we care so much about the 80 to 60 to 100 years that we're on this planet, yet there's eternity to spend with God? Why are we making choices that are so temporal when eternal things are online? That soul that is your neighbor, that coworker, that family member of yours, it's eternal. We have got to see this from an eternal perspective. The days are running shorter than we've ever seen before. There are things, if you look at the signs, they're here. What are we doing about it? We're getting ourselves ready to live for eternity, driven by eternity. That the choice I make today to make better money tomorrow is good, and I'm going to keep making choices that are going to benefit my family here. But how does it affect their eternal life, my eternal walk? Because we make some dumb decisions. Well, I'm young. I got the rest of my life. You know, I'll be like them. I know that they sowed their wild oats, is that what they call it. They did all that stuff when they were younger. Look at them. They turned out to be a preacher. Hold on, not so fast. We're not living that day no more. And even that, ask that person. Ask me. Would I want to go back and live those 5 years of my teen? I would live them over in a heartbeat. I live in serving Christ is much more beneficial and joyful than living and serving myself. Please hear my heart. We have got to have eternity driving us today better than ever before. These people need Jesus, and we need to know him better. Kenny talked last week about intimacy. We've got to be the most recent married couple, I guess, would be Tyler and Amanda, since Colton and Lenny are down at the lake today. You know, I remember getting all that stuff ready to get married. There was such an anticipation. Remember, anybody that's married, they had a good wedding day. We hope it's good. The anticipation, the joy of knowing, and then to see it happen. And I tell every single groom standing up there on the place, just wait. When that bride of yours walks through that door, you're going to bawl like a baby. You're going to see her, and you're going to just break down because the beauty of all this anticipation walks to the door. That is the rapture. That is the coming of the Lord. And I want to be ready. I won't be standing there ready, anticipating, looking, not going, oh, the door opened? Oh, yeah, come on. Oh, you. I wasn't ready. But can I still go? Can we still make this work? In grace and mercy, you're there. But wouldn't it be great to anticipate his coming? So as we stand to our feet today, that's my heart for today. The bride and the bridegroom are going to be reunited sooner than any of us know. Let's be ready. Let's look. Father, today, as a church, as a prayer team wants to come on up here too, as a church, we want to be like that bride and bridegroom, ready, prepared, anticipating. Not taken by surprise, because we are getting rooted and grounded in your word, in your presence. We want to honor you. And so today I ask for anyone in this church, as we're praying right now, anybody in this room that knows I'm not quite where I want to be. I'm not ready. I'm not ready enough to go tell my neighbors even, because I'm still driven by the temporal and not the eternal. I'm allowing all the things in my life to scatter me so much that I'm missing out on the eternal, the joy of my salvation. So, and then Lord, the second part of this is, there's anyone in this room right now, ask, maybe you just need someone to pray with you and agree with that neighbor, that coworker, that family member, somebody you're believing for right now. I'm believing with you in faith. Matter of fact, let's not even worry about the altar for a second. Right now, if there's something that comes in your head, let's reach some faith out and believe for them. Father, in the name of Jesus, I agree with anyone that just speak their name out. But every name spoken right now out loud, we agree for their salvation, their deliverance in the name of Jesus. We believe right now that the message of the gospel is transforming them even when we can't see it. We call right now for every family member. We call for me and my household to be saved. That is a promise we can stand on right now. So we call forth for their salvation. We call forth the promise of your word to go the other ends of all you. Jesus died for everyone. So today we ask that revelation would touch the hearts of every name that we spoke out. In Jesus' name. If you need prayer this morning, the altars are open.